And I had been doing morning prayer because I like loved just the, I loved like that part of the liturgy. And so I feel like a lot of it is similar and use the same words. And so, yeah, I feel like it was just beautiful and it was awesome to like be, I feel, I, y'all said it on the podcast before of like liturgy meaning like work.
We can talk about it right now. Y'all don't know who Creflo Dollar is.
No.
I don't feel like the people need to know about Creflo Dollar.
He's a televangelist. Everybody knows about Creflo Dollar. I don't know how y'all don't know about Creflo Dollar. He's a televangelist that started in like the 80s. He's extremely heretical. It's really bad.
If you have the word dollar in your...
Doesn't that seem like a...
It seems like a rapper name. Yeah.
Creflo Dollar. About to drop those...
Flow. Just like let the dollars flow.
Yeah. Welcome, Abby.
Thank you.
We're so glad to have you in the Anglican studio.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
What do you think about the magical place, which is this 80 square foot office?
Yeah, it's smaller than I feel like it looks like, because it does look small, but I don't think people realize how close the wall is to you on the other side.
They do close in on you.
Are you all the way down?
Come down further.
There you go.
Hey. Well, you're way taller than us. That's a little bit better. We're very cramped in here. I don't.
There we go.
Yeah.
There you go. Wait. See. There you go. Cool.
Cool. People that rent this co-working space to us don't watch this, but
what?
I think we are going to be leaving.
This. Yeah.
That. So the next time you see us, we may be in the new office.
True.
It's gonna be beautiful.
It's closer to my house.
Closer. We're in
one interstate exit closer to my house.
2 minutes closer on Google Maps.
Yeah, but. Probably really. Oh well, it is kind of far down there. Yeah,
that's the psychological part.
That's true.
Psychologically closer.
Yeah, definitely. With your new best friends, the front office ladies.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes.
Chandra, Destiny, and Tamika.
Love them.
It's closer to our church.
Yes, it's like 1.5 minutes from our meeting location on Sunday.
Our church, because as we all know, the church is just the building.
Fair enough.
So
not,
true.
Definitely not the people.
The whole.
Open up and
this is the Well, Abby, who are you?
That's such a good question. I'm Abby. I am a member of Restoration. I started coming here, 2 years ago at this point. We were still meeting in Will's house.
It's 2023.
She's OG. She's been here longer than me.
Seriously.
I have been, yeah.
Right after you were like a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it was the week before my birthday, so it was actually like a week ago.
Wow. We should have ceremony.
Wait, did I miss your birthday?
Yeah, it was Saturday.
Oh.
Well, that's
get invited to a party or anything, so.
Sorry.
Did you do something fun?
Yeah, I had some friends over.
We're not friends, apparently.
Well, it was.
Oh, is it? Oh, just because we're old? Is that it?
Yeah, it was really it,
I understand. We'd cramp your style.
Down.
Yeah, I knew you were out of town.
Invite me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I could have come.
Next year.
So
we'll see.
You came to Restoration 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. We'll get into that a little bit later. Back me up. Where are you from originally?
From Birmingham originally. Went to Auburn.
Okay.
Moved back afterwards. And I've just been living here ever since.
And growing up in Birmingham, I assume you did not grow up Anglican?
No, I did not. Okay. I didn't even know what Anglicanism was until I sat at your kitchen table and you explained it to me.
Is that the first time that you had really heard like the spiel?
Yeah, okay. Pretty much. I don't know really anyone that's Anglican still, except for people at our church.
I was gonna say, I think you do now.
Just a couple, but.
You pseudo kind of grew up in the Baptist.
Yes.
World. Pseudo.
Grew up. Very Southern Baptist.
Okay. My go to church every Sunday.
Yeah, went to church every Sunday. My stepmom grew up Episcopalian, so I would go to an Episcopal church like once or twice a year with her.
So you had some sort of framework.
But kind of not.
Like me, my grandparents were Episcopalian.
Like I knew it was like a very high Episcopalian church though.
Yeah.
Everyone has like a distant relative that's like Episcopalian.
Yes. And like I hadn't been since I was probably 10. So my like, you know, relativeness with it was gone out the window.
Okay.
So yeah, I really came into it very like, what the heck is this? And are they even Christians? Question mark. You know,
hey,
like,
me too.
It was a great question.
Common question.
I remember I've told you and Ashley this, but the first time I went to y'all's house, I thought like I was going to be out of place because y'all were going to say some like routine prayer. Yes.
Latin chant that summons Baphomet.
Yes.
The dead.
I was like,
the departed.
Oh, they're going to say something that I don't know and I'm going to feel left out. And then you prayed over our food and you were like, dear God, like, thank you for Abby and please bless this food. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's so normal. So yeah.
What do you think would have happened if I'd like pulled out some really strange liturgical thing?
You know, I
would have left.
It might have like, yeah. I'd already done enough research at that point, and I'd already been to the church once. Yeah. So I like.
And by been to the church, to our living room.
Where you played the guitar.
Freak most people out.
Put it down and then started preaching. Yes.
Well, now you know that Will is extremely weird, just not in the way that you thought.
Yes, exactly. Pause. Precisely.
Yep. Grew up in the Baptist world. Mm-hmm. What was the moment when your faith really kind of became your own?
Definitely like second half of senior year of high school and then into college, I would say. I always like the moment that I pinpoint is Passion Conference 2019.
Oh yeah.
Louis.
I have no idea what was said. It was just like, I remember like that was the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it had to do with the people I was with who are still like some of my best friends today. But yeah, like that's the moment that I like am like, oh, that's when I decided I have to like decide to be a Christian. I can't just like float through life and not read my Bible, not know anything about the Lord. But it's like second semester senior year of high school. I'm getting ready to go to Auburn. I actually like don't know what to do. Mm. And so I think like also freshman year of college, like got discipled by a girl that really like taught me how to read the Bible, taught me how to pray, taught me just like we like went through this course that someone in her like college ministry had made. Cool. Just like taught me what does it mean to be a Christian and what are all these like disciplines that Christian like active Christians do. Yes. So yeah.
Silence and solitude. No.
Yeah. Right. That's a little bit later on, you know.
Before we get too deep into all that, you know, boring church stuff, I want to talk about something I've observed about you.
You're
a big friend person. You mentioned that some of your friends, like, from a long time, well, it's not as long for you as it was for me. Uh-huh. Definitely not as long as it was for Will. You know, high school was a really long time ago for Will. like, a really long time.
We can't make fun of him like that.
We can't? Nobody told me.
But no joke, it was 20 years ago.
Oh. Anyway.
When did you graduate high school?
2006, 2006, whatever.
I hadn't even started kindergarten.
No, you're a little bit older than my brother. Yeah.
Not started kindergarten at that point?
I started in 2006.
Wow. Anyway, tell me about your friends. How do you think?
I know.
How do you think about friendship? How do you think about your friends? You're like a friend magnet.
Thank you. I love my friends. I think that they're all awesome. And I very much like see friendship as like a spiritual like thing, you know, of
spiritual gift probably in some way.
Yeah. Honestly.
I didn't have a lot of friends growing up, so I think that college I just like decided to go the other way. Mm-hmm. And like prayed a lot in like especially the latter part of high school for like good deep biblical friendships, and I think that the Lord was like, "Okay, cool, here it is in abundance," you know.
That's awesome.
In like a way that sometimes it's overwhelming. Mm. Not, I hate saying that. You might need to cut this out. But like sometimes I'm like, I want to be a good friend to everyone I know, and it's just not possible. Yeah, and I've learned my limitation.
Yeah, that's a hard lesson.
It is.
And also, you're a 7 on the Enneagram.
I'm a 6 wing 7.
6 wing 7. Okay.
Yeah. Can you tell me what that is?
But isn't 7 the loyalist?
6 is the loyalist. 6 is,
okay.
Yeah.
I got the number wrong.
Yes, but that is another part of it. Is like I am like deeply loyal and. Till like,
which is why you're on this podcast. You're like rested all the way.
Yeah.
Until basically. Somebody betrays you. Is that what you're about to say?
Yeah. Like it is takes a lot to backstory? Like lose my like confidence and my trust.
Sure.
But once it's lost forever. Mm. So
where am I on that scale?
You know, you're teeter tottering.
I understand.
Yeah.
But I make fun of Will too much.
Yeah. You can work your way back into good graces.
You don't
even
know what I say about him behind his back.
True. I've been worse. It's a great shirt, by the way.
It is really great.
I've been to Chicago as a gift from my sister-in-law.
I do love it.
Thanks, Peyton.
Okay, so we were talking about boring church things.
Right.
Right.
Let's keep talking about those.
Cool.
If you don't have any objections.
Nah, that's all right. I got my question.
You had a mentor who taught you what it meant to be a Christian. And what was then, that was freshman year of college. Basically, mm-hmm. What was the rest of college like for you in terms of your faith development?
Wild roller coaster. Learned how to like trust the Lord for the first time, I feel like, of, I don't know, just listening to his voice, even probably when I didn't like, I was very like, not anti-Holy Spirit, but I just didn't
have a reference for that.
I didn't mess with that, you know? But like looking back, I see all these times that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me and talking to me. Halfway through college, I had some like crazy life stuff happen and like switched churches to, I went to a Southern Baptist church the first 2 years of college and then switched to like a non-denominational, very liturgical, like just very, it's not a week, like, you would go and be like, this feels like it almost like a Baptist church, but also it felt like different. And I feel like the people there were just, I don't know, they worshiped in a different way than I had ever seen. I feel like the Baptist churches I grew up in were very focused on like Bible and like heavy scripture focus, like regarded the Bible as something to be like squeeze the life out of, learn everything, get the context, like, which is not bad.
Sure.
And they're also very like gospel focused, which is another like not bad thing, but it was like every passage was tied back to the gospel, yes. Which again, not bad at all. Like I love that. Yeah. But I feel like this church I went to second half of college was way more focused on like, okay, yes, that is good. Like we prayed for the nations every week. Mm-hmm. We're very like missional church.
Yes.
But also like scripture is something that you can use to like change yourself and not so much. Like, it doesn't have to be something that you have to, like, take something out of and regurgitate to other people. Like, it can actually just be something that, like, changes the way that you interact with the world, you know?
Yeah.
That's very similar to how I grew up. And it's hard to explain to somebody who is, like, still in that because it sounds radical almost. It sounds like a bad thing when you're, like, you know, maybe everything doesn't have to be a deep theological Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds, I almost feel wrong saying it.
Yeah.
But I understand. I completely understand what you're saying as far as like at some point, if it's not growing you towards Christ likeness, is it really beneficial? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, I think that's the best way I could explain it to somebody because yeah, it does. It's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say that.
Yeah. And it took me a while to like get out of that.
Yeah.
I feel like it took me like counseling to realize like the Bible is something that you like use as a mirror to reflect on yourself and not so much like, I don't know. That was something that my counselor really emphasized because I feel like he would, you know, prescribe me homework and it would be like a Bible passage because it was biblical counseling. And I'd come back and be like, so this is how I can share this with people. And he was like, no. Like, what did you learn from it? Like, how is it going to change you? You know? So yeah, I don't remember what the original question was, but anywho, that's
in a good place.
Though. That's college.
Okay. So you get to this new church and it opens a new dimension for how you understand your faith and God.
Mm-hmm.
And that then takes you back to Birmingham. You move here. A couple weeks later, you end up at Restoration.
Yeah.
What is that like? What, I mean, you gave a few nods to that earlier, but what is it like, A, going to some, like a random pastor's living room in Cahaba Heights? What is it like deciding to keep doing that? And then what is it like just generally like learning about, like what were your first experiences of Anglicanism besides the story you told about just sitting at the dinner table? We prayed normally.
Yeah. Yeah, I just came because some friends invited me, which I feel like kind of going off the friend thing and just like my personality. Yeah. I don't think anyone thought it was weird that I was going up to some random person's house. Like that does make sense, you know, for me.
Abby Jones.
Just kind of fearless. And I'm like, if it's awful, I'll do it once and it'll be a funny
Abby,
story.
My friend has this van. he's parked near a park. Do you want to go check
Does
it
he
out?
Have candy?
There's candy inside.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no. We're friends. Sure, let's go.
No, you know, like in a safe way.
Yes.
It was in the middle of Cahaba Heights. I knew it wasn't scary, you know? What? And I trusted my friends that invited me.
You don't watch enough true crime, but anyway.
Yeah.
Proceed.
So, yeah, I came and they told me it was Anglican and I was like, no idea what that is. And at this point, like, I'd been in Birmingham maybe 2 weeks but I'd kind of already been like, oh, I want to go to this church because they have a really vibrant, like, young adults ministry. And there's a lot of people my age. And it's also, like, PCA, really biblically sound. Like, this is it. You know, not that I was PCA, but I feel like that I was like, that's my next step. And my Christianity is to go, like, Baptist, non-denom PCA.
That you were the second half of college. I was more of a Reformed.
Very Reformed. Like, all the pastors went to RTS. Yeah. But non-denominational, and they did Believer's Baptism.
See, a lot of people do non-denom, Baptist, PCA, Anglican.
Mm-hmm.
But you, like, really just jumped the...
And I went backwards. I went Baptist, non-denom, you know?
Yeah.
But that's the funny thing about non-denom is there's such a range. Like, I can understand that step, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, so you're like, I'm going to go to this PCA church. It's established. It's got a lot of young people. That makes the most sense. I'm just graduated from college. But no,
God was like, haha, that's such a funny thought. So I walk in to Restoration. I meet Will, and there was like, I think that there was a total of 14 people that like came to that church at that time. But everyone I met, I remember being like, oh, they're so awesome. Like, these are the kind of people that I want to be like just their openness and their welcomingness. And like, I don't know, I felt like I made, you know, 13 best friends that day. And then we sat down and you led worship, which was great. And then you start preaching and you're like, we're doing this study on John Mark Comer, which is my like spiritual
husband,
father. I was going to say father. Like, my friend texted me the other day and was like, I've decided who my dinner party, like when people ask you, like, who would you go to a dinner party with, dead or alive? It's John Mark Comer. And like, that is my answer also. Yeah. Like, my spiritual Mount Rushmore, he's like number one, you know?
Mine is Will.
No. No.
No. Anyways.
No.
So I was sold at that moment, honestly, and was like, oh, these people know my hero. Like, I should keep going. And I went home and started Googling Anglicanism. I like went to I listened to every podcast about it. I think
except for this one, it wasn't around yet.
It wasn't around yet, but this one would have been so helpful to learn about. I think you had done like the sermons that were on the website were about Anglicanism though. And so I listened to all of those. I was doing like training at work because I had just started my job. And so I like binged all of them instead of actually listening to the training. I was just like, okay, what is Anglicanism need to, you know? Need to dive into this and did not have like any qualms with any, like there was nothing that I was like, oh, I actually don't agree with that. Like need to divert. And I remember like going on this long prayer walk with the Lord where I like left my phone in the car, left my watch in the car. Like I could have been kidnapped so easily. yeah, me too. But on the Jemison Trail. So it felt safe, you know?
Okay. I was saying I went on like a solo like track through where like Beverly Hills,
yeah, Mountain Brook like, Village. it was so scary.
It felt safe. I don't do that anymore because, you know, probably not wise. But I remember just like talking to the Lord and be like, I like this church a lot. I'm getting dinner with the pastor tomorrow night and his wife. Like, what do I need you to give me an answer. And I feel like my biggest like holdups were, what are all my friends going to think? Because all my friends are Baptist and no one's ever heard of Anglican churches. And if they do, they're probably going to think it's Catholic. And so they're going to like have a lot of questions and think that I'm becoming Catholic. And that's a big no-no in the South, you know?
That's true.
Which I don't feel that way now.
Sure.
But I think I did. Like at that time, I was like, this is a little too Catholic for me.
Same.
And then the second one was like, there's actually no one here my age. And it's all like these young families with young kids. Yeah. And that was another holdup, and I was
you didn't even have any like old mentors at that point.
No,
you just had bunch of young kids.
Yeah.
Their parents.
Yeah. It was just like.
I mean, like, you're pretty close to Alistair's kid's age, right?
Ha ha.
All right. So you were saying.
So anyways, I was like, breaking all this down with the Lord. And he was like, oh, those are like not good reasons to not go to this church. And I was like, okay, I guess you're calling me to this. Mm. And it was one of those things I told my friends, like, I'm going to this really small church plant. And they were like, okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, you know? And it did in some way feel like I was stepping into my calling of like, this, it feels like something that I have like wanted.
Yes.
And
you and Corey Ten Boom.
Yeah. My other hero, my other Mount Rushmore.
Corey Ten Boom at the table.
Uh-huh. Would be at
the communion table.
Like a Sabbath dinner that John Mark does, you know? I wouldn't say anything. I would just listen, you know? I would love for them to converse, see what they have to say. Yeah. In heaven. We'll get experience that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then I came to your... With gluten, because...
Will you be able to eat gluten in heaven?
Yeah.
We'll be healed of our diseases.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can't eat gluten either.
That was the other thing when you were texting me about if I had any food allergies. I was like, oh, I can't eat gluten, but like, you know, no big deal. And you were like, that's awesome. We don't keep gluten in our house. And I remember telling my roommates, I was like, oh, I just met this pastor that has celiac. I was like, it's perfect.
Great. Guaranteed to have communion every week.
Yeah, guaranteed, never gonna, which I think I like just would take it and pray that the Lord would protect me. So, but it's good to not have to do that anymore, you know? I've always got the little tiny plate that you hand to me.
Uh-huh. That's what the RCC decided. No gluten-free wafers.
The what?
The Roman Catholic Church.
Oh, really?
No gluten-free. That was a recent like decision.
Because rice is not the body.
That's right.
Interesting. Good thing you're not Catholic.
Yeah. So, okay. There was God saying, basically, that's not a good enough excuse. And we're glad that he told you that. So we leave our house. We then go to these, like, for those that don't know of this, when Restoration left the Schaeferman household, we went to the place that we are now. We did a couple preview services, and then we launched about 5 months later. What was that experience actually seeing a whole Anglican service, really for the first time, I imagine? Because maybe we did some dabbling in liturgy, but not much, right?
Yeah.
House?
Yeah.
What was that like the first? Because I assume that was the first time you'd experienced something quite like that.
Yeah. It was beautiful. I feel like it's the only way word I have for it. And by that point, I had, you know, gotten my own BCP because I saw that they were on sale.
Degree in Anglicanism at that point.
Yeah, like I had studied it, you know? And I had been doing morning prayer because I like loved just the, I loved like that part of the liturgy. And so I feel like a lot of it is similar and use the same words. And so, yeah, I feel like it was just beautiful, and it was awesome to like be, y'all said it on the podcast before, of like liturgy meaning like work, like, or like worship.
She didn't want us to know, but she listens to it.
I've only listened to a couple, I will say.
It's okay.
But I had to listen to them before I could rate it on Spotify because they wouldn't let me rate it. So I had to, you know.
Just purely utilitarian.
Yeah.
Right. You didn't enjoy it. That's okay.
Yeah, definitely not. Not going to listen to this episode for sure.
Your friends will.
Yeah, I have told everyone. So.
I don't blame you. I have to listen to everyone usually more than once, and it is a miserable experience.
It's not that bad
in so many ways. Well, because I have to listen to my own voice, I have to listen to what I've already said, and I know what I already said. Especially if I then have to listen to it again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't blame you.
Well, sorry to everyone that I've called out on this podcast. You know who you are, and I love you.
Okay. So we were saying, it's
the first service.
Done this deep dive. Yeah. You had been comfortable with it because you'd already used the daily office. First service, beautiful. Were there any things that were unexpected to you?
I think I was really confused by all the stuff that went on during communion.
Yeah.
Which now I see it as another like part of the beautiful service, but I think I was like
a little weird.
Like, why can't we just have like the cup and the broken off piece of bread, you know?
Yeah.
which is something that like I've just grown in appreciation for. And like, my favorite part is like the, therefore let us keep the feast. Like after you break the bread.
Do you, do you drink out of the cup?
No, I'm a dipper.
Oh, okay.
What are you?
I drink out of the cup.
I do say, I will say, I think mine is partially because everyone is like dipped their bread into it.
Mm-hmm. I'd drink out of the cup if I was not the priest. Because I get the
first. Is that why you became a is that why you became a priest? Is so nobody else's backwash? Yeah.
You know, eventually I think it'd be good to have a second chalice for just gluten-free people.
That'd be a lot of work though, you know?
Yeah, but eventually.
I do.
We have maybe multiple communion lines.
Yeah.
You have like a separate one.
Like a gluten-free community line.
Yeah, put those freaks over there where they belong.
Yeah.
Away from the everybody else.
Ostracized.
You can bake your gluten-free sourdough for
us. Yeah.
And we can just make that the bread.
Yeah. It'd be great.
No, you can't have leaven in the communion bread.
So we were saying...
Heretics. Anyway, we were talking about Abby.
We might get that.
Nope.
Okay, so
I'm just staring during all of it. Yeah.
We were on. That was the one thing that was unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you've been a part of this Anglican world for 2 years now, what would you say, looking back on it, how have you noticed God forming and transforming you through just being in this context?
That's a good question. I think I like have come to find a lot of comfort in the liturgy and a lot of like, I feel like that was something that I struggled with in like less liturgical settings was almost becoming like apathetic of like, I don't feel like I want to worship the Lord today. Yeah. And it feels like everything that I do is like based off of feeling in the sense of like, there's nothing we're following. It's just like, you have to come and like be the, like you have to. Yes, you have to like want to do this, you know, and I've find myself being a lot more consistent, I would say, because in those seasons where I am feeling apathetic or like tired or bored, it's like, OK, well, you're still going to like read the morning prayer liturgy and you're still going to confess your sins to the Lord, even if you don't want to. And you're still going to like be reminded of his like good grace and, you know, you're going to pray for the nations and just all of these beautiful things that have just been like very comforting. I remember that's one of the first things that you said is that liturgy is the scaffolding for the soul. And I just feel that like so truly and like very, it's very real to me. And I think our church also in not in the opposite way from all these churches I grew up in, but very like different focuses a lot on spiritual formation. Like that is kind of our tagline, you know? And so I think I have been a lot more challenged of like, how can I live more like in one with the Spirit, you know? So that's been cool. I feel like I've grown a lot and it's just been beautiful to see.
Okay, I have one last question. Andrew might have others. One last question I have is for those that are out there that are listening to this and are perhaps some degree of Anglo-curious, what would you say to them, particularly in a Southern context where Anglicanism is like, what's that word? What would you say to them, like, whether they're like on sort of degree number one, like I've just heard about this, or like I've been doing some research, but just generally speaking, what would be your advice to somebody that's like kind of curious?
I feel like, first off, it's not weird. Because that's what I thought. I think it's just a different way of worshiping. And I feel like seeing it that way has like helped me a lot and helps me kind of like argue it with friends a lot. Of it is not, you know, a different religion. It is just purely like a different expression of the same like gospel that we're all believing in. And yeah, just kind of going back to like the beauty of it and the comfort and I think that that's not something I cared about at all at the beginning of like a beautiful church service and like being tied to the old, you know, tradition and being tied to like the global church. It's not something I like cared about, but there is like such beauty in that and such comfort. And it's like I was on, you know, a trip one weekend and we decided to go to a Anglican church in Boston where we were traveling, and it was like, oh,
Ross, right?
Yes, I think that was the name of it.
In Boston?
Yeah.
I had a beer from Colorado.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Keep going, sir. Maybe we connect on this.
Okay.
You went to that church?
Yes, it like meets in a Seventh-day Adventist building.
Okay. Is it near Fenway still?
Yes. Okay. It's like across the street. Yeah.
Like they share the building, or it was formerly? No,
I think that they share it because Seventh-day Adventists meet on Saturdays.
And they're morning or an afternoon?
It's a morning.
Yeah, okay.
It was very interesting. After I left, I was like, we should do this, but there's not really any Seventh-day Adventist churches for us to get.
Or like Messianic Jewish congregation.
Yeah. Yeah, not anywhere near where we want to be. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, I think it's just beautiful. I think you have to get over what the Southerners are going to think, because, you know, that can keep you from doing everything in this life. It's just like what other people think. But just try it out. And if you hate it, you hate it, you know, like it. But I think it is something that once you experience it, it kind of opens this whole world that a lot of like other denominations and traditions don't tap into. And yeah, it's beautiful.
Andrew?
Abby, what is your Roman Empire?
My Roman Empire? Mm-hmm. Probably John Mark Comer. I think about him a lot.
Cool.
Or Taylor Swift.
I've never heard of that question before. Is that like a Gen Z question? What is your Roman Empire? What does that mean?
I don't really even know. It's like what you think about a lot, right?
So, yeah, the idea is that if you ask, like most dudes have, like, think about the Roman Empire on a regular basis. But if you don't think about the Roman Empire on a regular basis, you probably have a different one. Mine is the Neanderthals.
Okay.
I'm very confused now. What do you mean most dudes think about the Roman?
Most dudes think about the... start asking dudes, like, you have any thoughts about the Roman Empire? They will. They will have thoughts about the Roman Empire. But for me, it's Neanderthals.
Okay.
Next episode, we're going to be talking about...
the Roman Empire?
Ancient forms of humans.
Great. And could they... did God have a separate plan of salvation for them? Did they have souls? This is the kind... this is what I want to talk about this. This is exactly this.
Bonnerat wants to talk. The guy who's on here for the previous Anglican stories wants to talk about Sasquatch.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about Neanderthals.
It keeps me up at night. Look, Will, they...
Anglicans are not weird.
They buried...
this podcast might show you differently.
Look, they buried their dead and decorated their graves with flowers. That's really strange.
Why?
It's really strange. Why is that weird? Because it's very human-like behavior.
Abby, I'm so glad that you came on this podcast.
Thank y'all for having me.
One thing I didn't mention in the beginning, Abby is kind of a rock star at Restoration. She's
truly
council, which is like our main governing body. And we're just incredibly grateful for you. And thanks for taking your time out of your busy day to come to the studios and talk about Anglo things. Abby's also leading a John Mark Comer class.
Yes, naturally.
In about 2 hours from now.
Yep.
And so thank you for all you do.
Yeah, thank y'all. Yay, podcast.
Woo!
Anything else?
Well,
cute music.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Will.
And this is Excessively Anglican. A podcast for the Anglo-curious.
Yeah!